Yes, Tabernacle Family Church, how you feeling this morning? I am so excited to praise and worship with you all. I want you all to repeat after me. I'm going to a new level. Say it again. I'm going to a new level. Turn to the person to the left or the right of you and say, you have no choice but to go to a new level. Hallelujah. We're not going back to 2018, amen? We're pressing forward this year, amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to another level. Come on, prophesy it this morning. I'm going to another level.
Keep believing, keep believing.
We're going to another level. And don't stop pressing for your blessing.
For your blessing.
Cause I'm going,
to another level.
Oh, I'm going to another level. Come on, clap like this. Clap like this. Sing, I'm going.
I'm going to another level.
To go to a new level is by doing something new, right? We can't do the same thing and then expect God to take us to a new level, right? So I want to encourage you all this morning, if you've never come up to the altar, if you have never raised your hands in worship, if you've never jumped and shouted, today you can reach a new level of praise, amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let me see you clap. Hope in you, unstoppable God.
unstoppable God. Let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Come on, clap, clap.
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you formed. Faith commanded and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God,
let your glory go on and on.
Sing impossible things,
impossible things.
In your name they shall.
Jump if you serve an unstoppable God this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, sing this out with me. And I want you to declare it.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be
impossible.
Your kingdom reigns. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God,
unstoppable.
Oh, nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. Shout your praise
forevermore.
Jesus, our God, unstoppable, unstoppable God.
Let your glory go on and on.
Oh, let your glory go on and on.
Impossible things in your name, it shall be done.
To the impossible, Jesus,
unstoppable God.
Let your glory go on. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns
unstoppable.
We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God,
unstoppable.
Nothing shall be
impossible.
Come on, declare it this morning.
Your kingdom reigns.
Your next level is not impossible.
We'll shout your praise forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Because
we serve an unstoppable God.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns
unstoppable.
We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God.
Let your glory go on and on.
Oh, impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Oh, they shall. Let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want you to know this morning that if you're looking at a situation that seems impossible, God just sees another opportunity to prove himself faithful to you this morning. Isn't that so amazing? Isn't it amazing that God can look at our impossible situations and laugh and just say, just trust me. Just speak my word. Just declare my word. Would you just lift your hands with me this morning? I want you to get that thing in your head that you feel like is the biggest mountain in your life right now. Something that seems so impossible that you're afraid to even think it, that you're afraid to even pray it. I want you to know this morning that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond that thing. Above and beyond that thing. I want you to say out of your mouth, once you have that thing in your head, I want you to say, nothing is impossible for my God. Go ahead, say it out loud. Start putting your faith to that thing right now. Put the name of Jesus on that thing right now. Put a praise on that thing right now. Jesus, we adore you this morning, God. We recognize you as the unstoppable God in our life. God, your power is surpassing. It's unstoppable. It's so much greater than anything else we could ever encounter in this life, because you are greater in me than whatever that is in the world that could ever come against me. I can sit here and praise you for the victory that's already been won on the cross. In the mighty name of Jesus.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord.
You give life.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
Come on, let me hear you sing it. You don't need us to sing it. You sing it now.
And on. Our hearts will cry. They sing, great are you, Lord.
One more time.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
We forget everything else that happened this week, and we just focus on how good you are. Thank you, Father.
Shake, the stone was rolled away.
Just raise your hand, sing with me.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
We sing
hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing
overcome. Your blood has overcome. Jesus, we sing.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing Jesus, because you have overcome. Oh, we sing hallelujah. We sing.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
what's amazing? All the angels that are up in heaven can't sing this song. This is a song they can't sing. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, they're singing a redemptive song. All the angels have to stop and just listen. They haven't experienced what we've experienced. They haven't experienced the blood of the Lamb that's overcome. So you see, this song is exclusive. This is exclusive only for those who've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Because when you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, it's no longer a song, it's life. Listen, I know you've come to church today. Hell might have happened all week long. You got in a fight with your wife on the way. Your kids are hellions. You're not even sure what to do. You put them in the trunk and they broke out. But this moment, you've got to reserve just for God. This song is reserved just for heaven. This song, Father God is waiting to hear it out of your mouth because the angels are peering at you. They're along the balcony of the sanctuary, watching and listening and saying, I wish I could sing it. I wish I knew it. I wish I experienced it. But they can't have it because it's not theirs. You and I have been washed by the blood of Jesus, by the Lamb that overcomes. We've got a song to sing. And I want to sing it one more time. And you can't sing it like you've been singing it. Don't sing it passive. Now, I know some of you are you're a little bit more reserved. And I've always said this. I don't believe that you're actually reserved. I can prove it to you. If I took you out in the middle of a lake and you could not swim, and I threw you into the lake and rowed away, you would not be going, help me. Help me, please. Your arms will be flaring. Your voice will be shouting, help! Somebody help me! Listen now, I want you to do something. I want you to abandon all of your bad teaching. And I want you to worship him. I want you to shout to him. I want this song to come out of your spirit because only you can sing it.
As we were singing that song, I just sensed the hunger and thirsting in this congregation. And I saw that it wasn't a begging, longing thing. As we sing this again, I saw Jesus running with his surpassing power to meet you in your situation. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So as we sing this again, I want you to see the surpassing power of Jesus running to your situation and fill. You don't have to beg him. When we hunger and thirst, you shall be filled forever.
Now watch. I'm not done. You just got to concede to the wife. Jesus went to the cross. How many of you know that's a key? Faith is not a noun. Faith is a verb. Yes. Yes. When we sing this song, I want you to sing it in faith. You know what that means? Some of you have never lifted your hands to Jesus. Some of you have never left your seat. I want you to be brave. I want you to do something you've never done before. And I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But when we sing this song, I want you to went to the cross. Because the one who has overcome paid it all so you and I could go further than we've ever gone before. This is the year of your next level. It's time to step forward and do what you've never done before. It's time to sing this song like you've never sung it before. Come on, get it out of your spirit.
Forever he is gone.
Oh,
Unashamed and unabashed. We declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We declare that you took away the keys of death and hell and are sitting at the right hand of the Father. We declare that you are the overcoming Messiah who washed our sins away. And we thank you, Jesus, that the very breath in our lungs has come from you. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that we are not dead, but we are alive. We thank you we are not in our trespasses and sin, but we've been given a new life, a new purpose, a new design. We thank you, Jesus, that you are in our life. And Lord, we declare it so clearly. Without you, we would be nothing. Without you, Jesus, we would have nothing. Without you, Jesus, all would be lost. So today we declare you as who you are, the overcoming Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us even in our unloveliness. Thank you, Jesus, for pursuing us even when we weren't pursuing you. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting us in our mess and making us more than overcomers through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. We'll take none of it, God. It's all about you. Jesus, we give it all to you and declare that you are awesome in this place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell the three or four folks, I serve an awesome God. Now listen now, if you don't move a lot, at least turn around to somebody behind you and say, I thank God he's alive this morning. Come on, be friendly, be friendly, be friendly.
HT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
You and family, we're so excited about Next Steps and your ability to grow in your walk with Christ. Coming up this week and the weeks to follow, every single Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Step 1 and 2 right here at the Horseheads campus. And if you work overnight or you have a swing schedule, guess what? Wednesday mornings, we have Pastor Dan right here again at Horseheads for Step 1. But Thursday nights, we're at every location at 6 p.m. for Step 1, Rock Solid Faith, your foundation to grow in Jesus Christ. We'd love to see you there because we want to see you successful. Our success is to make you successful.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are y'all doing on this cold Sunday morning? Everybody's keeping warm? I'll take that as a no. We're so excited that you are still here in the house of the Lord. The Bible declares, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It may be cold. Maybe your week was not the best, but I can still be glad. There's a corporate anointing in this place. We just came off of a phenomenal week of fasting and prayer. Miracles, they were released. There was a prophetic word released as well, and we're just excited for what God has in store. So it is it's just such an amazing honor and opportunity to fellowship with you this morning. So thank you for being in the house. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are brilliant for being in the house of God today. Amen. If you are a first-time guest and this is your first time to worship with us, can I just see you slip up your hand like this? Please. Awesome. Let's give it up for our first-time guest. Amen. If you could just keep your hands lifted up, we have a gift that's about to come around to you. We like to personally invite you to our guest reception after service. It's on this side of the building. You'll have some free food and coffee in there. You get to meet some of the people on staff. And we want to just tell you thank you so much for coming out. Get to know us a little bit better. And over the next few weeks, we look forward to His Tabernacle becoming your church family. So let's give up for our guests one more time. Y'all, this is the second Sunday of the month, and we are already so busy. There is so much going on. The first and foremost thing is groups. Who is excited for groups? All right, if you are a group host, can I just see you just lift your hand? In fact, can you just stand up if you're a group host? Wow. Look at that. These are people that are committed. Please remain standing. Thank you. These are people that are committed to making sure that you are all connected and this house feels like family. So if you are not in a group, please look around. And these are the people that you want to go and say, hey, I want to join your group. If you meet today, Sunday, raise your hand. All the people whose hands are raised, if you have nothing doing after church, I want you to go and hunt these people down and say, I want to be part of your group. They'll have food and coffee there for you guys. It's going to be a great time. We want to live life with you. Amen? Amen. So feel free to go and find one of these guests or go out to the hub or go online. But as much as today, you can start being plugged in the group, and they'll be running all week long from Sunday to Saturday. In addition, we have the young adults group that's going to be meeting tonight. They have a group that's called Awaken. If you're between ages of 18 and 30, can you just make some noise? falling out of that age group. I'm so sad. But they're meeting tonight. I believe it starts at 6 p.m. You do not want to miss it. There is food. There's fun. There's games. There's over 100 young adults in this place that are lifting up the name of Jesus from across the entire region. So if you're between the ages of 18 to 30-ish, make sure that you are here at 6 p.m. and get ready for a great time. In addition, we also have activity groups. And one of our activity groups, it is the motorcycle ministry. All right. We are a biker-friendly church, as y'all can tell. And they love to just connect, not just during the summertime, but throughout the entire year. And they have on their hearts to have a chili cook-off that's going to be on Super Bowl Sunday, February 3rd. The tickets are $5 a piece. You can go and see them out in the foyer for your ticket. And they've also began to have volunteer sign-ups for the annual motorcycle blessing that occurs on May 25th. This is a highly, highly publicized event. So many people, even mainly those that are unsafe, they come out to this event, and it's amazing. There's a word from our pastor. There's food. There's giveaways. And every single motorcycle, there's a blessing that's released over them for safety on the road throughout the summertime. So please make sure that if you want to get involved with that, meet them outside in the foyer and get signed up as well. Who's ready, excited for the rest of the service?
Amen. Pastor and I absolutely love the privilege of being your pastors. We have been talking. We are so excited for this 2019 because of your hunger and thirst. Listen, fasting, the week of fasting and prayer, you showed up hungry and thirsty. And there is no way for God not to respond to that. This is truly going to be the year of next levels for every single one. So thank you for the privilege of allowing us to be your pastors. As we enter into this time of tithe and offering, I want to bring to you a scripture passage, and it's found in Matthew 19, 16 through 22. And you can, if you're taking notes, write that down. It's always a good idea to take notes during the tithe and offering message because we need to learn how to be successful in our money. How many of you want to have joy in your money rather than headache and hardship? So we need to learn from the Word of God about our finances. So this is Jesus. It's actually red letter. And I love bringing to you what Jesus said because then it's not what Pastor Rhonda says. This is what Jesus is saying. So then a rich young ruler approached Jesus and bowed before him saying, "Wonderful teacher, is there a good work I have to do to obtain eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "Why would you call me wonderful? God alone is wonderful. And why would you ask what good work you need to do? Keep the commandments and you'll enter into the life of God. Honor your mother and father. Love those around you as you love yourself." And the ruler said, "But I've always done those things. I've obeyed every single one of them without fail," the young man replied. "What else do I lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you really want to be perfect, go immediately and sell everything you own and give all of your money to the poor, and your treasure will be transferred into heaven. Then come back and follow me for the rest of your life." And when the young man heard these words, he walked away. You see, he wasn't willing to give. Let's not let that be our heart. He was willing to do whatever work that he had to do. He was faithful in every single one of the works. But when Jesus asked him to give, he was unwilling to participate with that. And he walked away. In this house, let us be a house of givers that respond to Jesus. That's red letter. That is Jesus. Let us respond to him so that he can open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Listen, examples are few, if not none, of people that were hurt by giving. You don't see anybody that's destroyed by giving, but certainly by not giving. So it doesn't hurt anyone to be a giver, amen? So in this house, we are givers. Are you ready to tithe? Stand to your feet. wake up this morning, I know the presence of God was good. It's so good when you get in that sweet, sweet presence of God. Let's make our supernatural declaration. It's found in the Word of God also. It's in Deuteronomy 28. And let's say this with faith backing our giving, knowing that the Word of God is true, it does not return void, and God cannot lie. So let's declare it in our faith verb action this morning. If I obey, I am blessed going in. Oh, but listen, the rich young ruler, he wasn't willing to obey. But if I obey, then I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us.
I'm going to another level. I'm going to another level. Yeah,
one, two, buckle my shoe. Praise the Lord. What a great day, isn't it? Amen. Oh, man, God's got so much for you. This is the year of your what? Turn to someone and say, you got to go higher.
That's right. So many people live so low. You know, I've learned a long time ago that there are so many believers that live below the plan of God. And it's time for us all to rise. Can I hear an amen? Amen. This is the year of... You know, I'm just learning what it must feel like for a lady with a bra when the strap always falls down. Jeepers. It's a horrible situation. There is absolutely no question that our passion has to move forward. Everybody say you got to be passionate. Now listen, this is the truth. You've heard me say it a few times, but I want you to really hear me. It's not what you live for that you should be serving. It's what you're willing to die for. So many people are willing to live for something, but it's so temporary. God is calling you to die for something, and that is to die for his kingdom. Amen? Turn to someone and say, you got to die to yourself. I've watched as the body of Christ, and this is a sad part because I'm included in this. It's not just how you start, it's how you finish. And many of us have started off with a passion. How many of you had a great experience with Jesus? He washed your sins away. You can't doubt it if you wanted to. He changed your life from the inside out. But now over time, you found that things seem to quiet down in your spiritual life. You're getting a little bored in your spiritual life. Things aren't moving forward in your spiritual life. And I want to challenge you today. It's time to start changing our passions. It's time to start shifting our passions and bringing it to a place where we are passionate not over the things of the world. How many of you realize everything you have is going to be gone? How many of you realize, how many of you had at least one car in your life? And you love that car. 1970 Dodge Dart, slant 6, 69 Belvedere engine in it. The only way to peel out was to pick up the back end, rev it up and drop me. I love that car, but guess what? It's in a field rotten somewhere. We've had things on this earth. How many of you had some really nice clothes? And then the really nice clothes you grew out of. Yeah, it's not the clothes problem, it was your problem. Can I hear an amen or oh my? That's an oh my one right there. We've all come to the place where the temporal things so many times are what people are passionate over. Well, I want a new job, or I need a new car, or I need this, or I want this. I want to aspire here, I want to aspire there. But the truth is that all those things are temporary. And the Bible is so very clear in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Don't look at the things which can be seen, for they are temporal. But look at the things which cannot be seen, for they are eternal. God has created us to be eternal beings that are going to acquire eternal things. Everything here is short-lived, but what you and I acquire here on earth for the kingdom of God is going to last for all of eternity. As we're ascending on our journey, we've got to make sure that we're reaching the right summit. There's nothing worse than realizing you're on the wrong ridge. Can I hear an amen? Come on, you've climbed for hours and hours, and man, you've gotten all sweaty and nasty, and you've got a time schedule, and then you realize, I'm not even on the right ridge to get to the right summit, because there's only how many summits? One. It's time to realize it's very easy to get on the wrong ridge. And one of the great things that we must realize right now as we are the body of Christ in the beginning of 2019 is to make sure that we are going to be on the right ridge so that we can hit the summit. And I don't know about you, I'm running this race to win. I'm not into a trot. Can I hear an amen? One time in fact, my brother-in-law, Chad, he was putting together a music festival. And a church came to us. We went to a bunch of churches and said, would you be willing to work with us? And one guy said to me, well, listen, why don't you put it down for a year and we'll just walk through this together. And I looked at him and I said, we're not walking, baby. Jesus is coming. I'm not even trotting. Let's run. Paul made the declaration, we're going to run this race to win. It's not a trot, it's a run, for Jesus is coming. You know, the verse that we have this year, actually for our entirety as His Tabernacle Family Church, is John 17:3, that I might know Him. You see, this is eternal life, that I may know God and the Son whom He has sent. I want to just make sure that we're all aligned properly, and that is that the summit is not getting to heaven. Oh, just messed up somebody's religion. The summit is not getting to heaven. Heaven is the cherry on top. Amen? The summit is knowing God. The summit is knowing Christ. Not knowing about him, but legitimately knowing him. He said in John 15, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. This is the difference between being religious and in a relationship with the King. And I want to make sure that we're all running the right race, that we don't end up on the wrong ridge. There is only one summit to acquire, and that is, I want to know my God. I want to know my King. I want to know him not out of somebody else's concepts. I want to know him personally. I want to read the word. Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and have it come alive to me, because God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, Jesus is the living God, not a dead God. And the design of heaven is not for you and I just to get to heaven. That is the cherry on top. But the great thing, the journey that we're after, is knowing God. This morning, I just want to make sure, as this is the year of, I said, this is the year of, that you make the next level. You see, because you can do many things and never make the next level. You can be an amazing religious individual and never make it to the next level. You can even have a sincere heart and never make it to the next level, because you could find yourself on the wrong ridge. We must realize that this is all about Jesus, that this is all about you and I knowing God, you and I being in a relationship that's real and vibrant, you and I not being in the relationship we had with him 20 years ago that we reflect on, and people say, well, the golden years were back then. No, 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 no. If you're alive and breathing, the golden years are right now. The verse for the year is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, and it says this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, or that I've already reached perfection. Oh, that means maturity. But I press on. Shout, I press on? Come on, turn to someone and say, you got to press on. Tell somebody else, don't be lazy. Tell somebody else, don't be a slug. Now listen, you can't say slug. You got to slur that. Here we go. Right? Turn to somebody and say, don't be a slug. Very good. You've seen those slugs. You know, you've seen them. You know, they're long and they leave a trail of slime. Don't be a slug. I want to leave a trail that people are going to say, I want to follow that person like he follows Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Nobody in this room is perfect. Turn to someone and say, I don't think you're perfect. Tell somebody else, I know I'm not perfect. But I want to live a life that somebody can say, I want to follow them. I want to know their God. I want to live like they live. I want to see the blessings like they have seen. And I want to know whom they believed and are persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. It's time to realize that this is all about Jesus and not about church. Listen, I love the fact of seeing you all here in the house of God. Why? Because the Bible is very clear that don't forsake the assembling of yourself in the last days, especially as the time approaches. But you see, we can assemble together and we could have a large church but not have Christ. Let me say it again. You can have a large church but not have Jesus. I'll say it one more time. You can have a church of 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people and not have Jesus Christ in the house. You see, it's not about getting a lot of people. It's about getting people that love Jesus. Can I hear an amen? The kingdom of God is not in that numerical value. The kingdom of God is getting people around you that are passionate about the Lord because they know him, not as church. Talked to somebody not too long ago. They said, well, I need to get back to church so I can get right with God. No, no, no. You need to get right with God. Then you can go to church. See, they equated getting right with God as going to church. And this is where we get all messed up, where people get on the wrong ridge. Church can't get you to heaven. Good religion can't get you to heaven. The tag you were born with. Somebody said to me, well, I'm from this religion. I was baptized in this religion. I said, I don't care. There's not that separation in heaven. It's either sons and daughters or I don't know you. We don't have all these religious partitions when we get to heaven. Can I hear an amen? It's all about knowing Christ. It's all about knowing Jesus. Not knowing about him, but knowing him. And this is what I want to pray and pray that we get in our spirit this morning. And that's all. That's the main push this whole time. For two more hours, that's all I'm going to talk about. It's just you and I knowing Jesus. All the guests went, oh, God. I press on to the maturity of which Jesus Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Paul is the one who is preaching this in the book of Philippians. What do you think Paul was talking about? What is the prize that Paul was talking about? What is it that he was declaring? What is what he would consider the heavenly prize? What was his drive, his passion, everything that he had that was within him? I want you to realize it was not about doing good works. Somebody said to me a long time ago, his tabernacle's all about works. And listen now, I want you to know something, that you cannot get to heaven by works, but when you're saved, you will have works. That got quiet. I'll buckle myself in on that one. You can't get to heaven by doing works. But the fact is that when you're genuinely born again, works will come out of your life. It is a natural byproduct because Jesus, I love Christ. The Bible says, for God said he sent his son to do what? To do and to destroy the works of the devil. You see, Jesus was sent by the Father to do what the Father would do. What the Father does is the Father does. Turn to someone and say, the Father does. This is important for us to recognize that the more you know him, the more you'll do. You can do more, but still not know him. See, that's the ridge we want to stay out of. The ridge we want to run to is knowing Jesus. You've all met him. If you haven't, we're going to give you opportunity to meet him at the end of this service. When you meet Jesus, everything changes in your life. We're talking about a man called Paul the Apostle this morning. And Paul, before his name was Paul, his name was Saul. Paul was very good at what he did. You see, those that are religious would say you've reached the summit when you are a winning person, when you become a kind individual, when you do a lot of nice things, you're a benevolent individual. You've reached the summit when, you know, when everyone kind of likes you and, you know, I don't know, maybe just getting to heaven is the summit to some. But to Paul, the prize, the heavenly prize, was not even about getting to heaven. You remember what he said one day? He said, for me to die is gain, but I'll stay for you. You see, he could have gone to heaven at any point in time that he wanted, but the truth was is that he simply wanted to make sure that you and I had the privilege of knowing Christ like he knew Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ is what he declared. He said, I want you to see this relationship, this real life that I have in my Lord. I want you to know him like I know him. I want you to listen to him like I listen to him. I want you to obey him like I obey him. And when you do this, you will reach a heavenly prize because when you know him, there's a reaction to the knowing. See, this is why a lot of people say they know God and they know about God, but they don't know God. Majority of Americans say they're going to heaven because they believe in Jesus. That's beautiful, but that doesn't mean they know Jesus. And you're not going to heaven by knowing and believing, by believing in Jesus. For the Bible says even the devils believe in God and tremble. The way you get to heaven is knowing Jesus. That open relationship by the blood of Christ that will wash your stains away. You see, this is the awesome part, what Paul was running after. You see, that heavenly prize is the journey of knowing Christ. You know, this is a verse that I listen to a lot. Many of you don't know. Let me explain what that means. I listened to the Bible every night of Bible school. I would put on the cassette tape with auto reverse. Kids don't know what I'm talking about. It's not a CD. It was a cassette tape. I popped in the Bible, read on Bible, most boring guy you've ever heard in your entire life. Popped it in, and I would go to sleep with him reading the Bible all night long, and it was auto reverse. You'd hear it when it clicked over to the other side. But there was something about that that changed me. You see, what changed me was this verse became alive to me in that motion. I started to realize, because I was brought up in a church that preached Christ but really didn't teach relationship. If you went to church, you were right with God. And I want you to know that's just not true. I was sharing at the 7:15 prayer meeting this morning that the easiest place to backslide is in Bible school. And that as a pastor doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You don't get to heaven because, hi, I have the title pastor. There are many pastors that have started off serving the Lord and in relationship with God, but then started acquiring different prizes. And therefore, what ended up happening was their vision was lost. Their vision and purpose was lost. Their journey was maylegged. And all of a sudden, they're on the wrong ridge, and they're chasing things that are of this planet. They're chasing things of big church. They're chasing things of things to acquire, and they're missing the reality of what this is all about. Listen, it comes down to a basic reality of simplicity. And that is, if I gain anything that is not Jesus, then I've really gained only temporary things. God doesn't mind you having things as long as the things don't have you. But if you don't acquire Christ, then everything you have is lost. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, I've watched so many amazing exchanges. I've watched people exchange Jesus for money. You know, we did follow up on people and, where have you been? Well, I work on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about the nurses and guards. I'm talking about folks that have changed Jesus for a buck raise. They decided, I'm not going to church anymore because I can make an extra dollar at work. I want you to realize that those two extra dollars ain't taking you far, especially after taxes. Come on now. But they've exchanged the ability to be fed in the spirit for something that's temporary, the dollar. I've watched young men and young women and older men and older women exchange Jesus to have somebody in their bed. You see, just because they're under your sheets doesn't mean that's where they're supposed to be. Can I hear an amen or oh my? There's a great message, and you probably should all listen to it if you're single. It's called No More Sheets by Juanita Bynum. How are you getting somebody under your sheets? But the problem is they can't pay their own bills. Come on, they don't love God themselves. And now you got somebody under your sheets that's not going to make you successful. They're going to destroy you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I've watched people trade off Christ for so many amazingly foolish temporary things. And man, it breaks my heart. And if it breaks my heart, you can imagine what it does for Jesus. One of the greatest things that always reminds me, I was listening to Keith Green this morning on the way to church. And one of the quotes of the songs, now listen, I live out in Timbuktu. And on the way, listen, there is no cell phone from where I live to Breezeport, New York. Except for one spot. I stopped at that one spot. And there was a portion of the song, it said, and Jesus rose from the dead, but you can't get out of bed. How many folks have sold their relationship with God for a few more hours sleep? You see, we live in a world where so many believers are on the wrong ridge, and they're going to get to heaven if they get to heaven, and they're going to be shocked. Because they'll realize that everything they acquired that they thought was important here really is not important at all. What matters is, do you actually know Jesus? Are you in a relationship with Jesus? Do you know his voice? Are you listening to his voice? Are you obeying his voice? You see, all that is where we come to the final reality of what Paul's drive was in his entire life. He says it in Philippians chapter 3. This is the verse. I'm finally there. This is the verse that I want to share with you this morning. And it says this: to truly know Christ meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me, so that I might be enriched in the reality of knowing Christ, embracing him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him, not clinging to my own righteousness based on keeping the law of my righteousness will be this, based on the faithfulness of Jesus, the very righteousness that come from God. And I love this portion, verse 10. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him. Come on now. I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. You see, this whole journey is simply this. You want to get to the summit? You don't have to wait to get to the summit. You can keep getting closer and closer, and that is, as your relationship with Jesus grows, you're going to know him more and more. I share about this, about a lady named Mom B, or Sister Bonowitz. She's from Rochester, New York. When I was on the drama team, we ended at her house. We were doing ministry at their church, and we ended up staying at people's homes. So the guy and I that we paired up, and we went to this house, this lady's house, Sister Bonowitz, and she had a pool there. It was a really nice home. And she's talked to me about it. She said, you know, God's blessed me. I do a lot of baptisms in my pool. And then she said, do you mind if I share a vision with you? And I said, sure. She said, you know, I just want you to know that Jesus is the only thing that I really want. She said, I'll give up everything here and pump gas just if I have the opportunity of knowing Jesus. Many of us won't give up. What will you give up to know Jesus? Some of us won't give up some of our friends that need to go. Come on. Some of us need to give up some of our friends that need to go. Is that better the second time? Okay. Some of us just need to make decisions that, listen, there's really only one thing that drives me, and I've got to know Christ, and there are things that are in my way. Listen, not bad things, sometimes good things. Well, we've got to make a decision. Really, my whole life's drive, like Paul's was, I count it dung. We all know what the word dung means. Someone say poopy. What is dung? Every day, if you're somewhat healthy, we all have something called a bowel movement. You feel this unction in your gumption, and it says, go to the toilet. And you go to the toilet. Some of you have to think harder than others. But there's one reason for sitting on the toilet. And that is called elimination. The whole purpose is dung is poison to your body. What's happened is your body has cycled through and taken all the nutrients out, and now it's taking the solids, and it's eliminating the solids because there's nothing more to give. In fact, they say the majority of all sicknesses and diseases actually come from your colon. Because our colons are created like this. But over time, because we eat so poorly, come on now, some people get impacted. They say you can hold up to 50 pounds of dung in your body. And all sicknesses, the tissue in your body that deals with your colon, they say is like the inside of your mouth. It'd be like holding a steak on the inside of your mouth for a week. It starts to rot, and it brings poison into your body. And this is a problem, because if there's poisons in your body, that means you're not going to be healthy. And if you're not going to be healthy, you're not going to be able to run the race properly. Now, yesterday was an important day for me because I've been putting off bicycle riding for a little bit, and I have a bike riding partner. Where's Bonomo? Where is this young man? Mr. Bonomo. Mr. Bonomo, get in here. Oh, there he is, right here. Come here. He's 23 years old, and him and I ride bicycles together. Now, the first time this year we rode bicycles, it was an 18-mile ride. and he whooped my butt. Terry Hurley, that's uncalled for. It was too much celebration there. The second time, I whooped his butt.
He only got me once out of five.
But yesterday, we were supposed to ride. But something happened to my stomach. My stomach said, unhappy. And not once, not twice, not three times, but four times in the morning, my bowels said, eliminate. Poison, eliminate. And so I had to call this young man and say, we can't ride. Go sit down. You see, when you have too much dung, you're not healthy. Amen. Paul made a statement here that waste is what would destroy your relationship with the Lord. This is what he said. I count all things dung. I count all things worthless. I count all things poison but one, knowing Christ. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think this is a lifelong battle, and that's why he said he has not fully completed the race. But there has to come some revelation in our spirit. There has to come some reality of our walk with the Lord. Yes, listen now. We all have to get saved. Come on now. Everybody starts at the same base camp. Amen? Everybody starts at the same base camp. It's called salvation. There's no other name under heaven which you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. It's only the blood of Jesus that washes your sins away. Religion can't take care of you. Nothing can take care of you. Only Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven because mommy and daddy do. You only get to heaven because you yourself made a decision. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. All of us, listen now, this is what I love so much about the Lord. All of us have to come the exact same way. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It does not matter your wealth. It doesn't matter your status. What matters is we all come the same exact way to the base camp. You see, you cannot climb to the summit until you come to the base camp called salvation. Churches will teach many different things. If you get baptized as a child, you're going to heaven. And I want you to know that's good religion, but that is not the Bible. You're attacking a church. No, no, no. I'm attacking a lie. Nobody has a right to establish their own religion. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. He came to start his family. And his family was not established on rules and regulations. His family, the very launching point of it, was always started from this one place, that they will know me. This is about a relationship with Jesus. We all start here. Now, you know as well as I do, when you first got saved, it was like, still a little spooked out, man. Why are they raising their hands? Why is that guy Matthew shave his head bald? I mean, no, it's a different story. I'm sorry. You know, I don't understand. You know, she stands up there. She talks about money. You know, what she got to talk about money for? You know, when you first give your heart to the Lord, and we all start the same way. Some of us have more of a religious background than others, but it all starts the same way. And many of us come to this place where we really don't know what we're doing. We don't understand where we're going. We don't understand understand the progression, but you've made a choice. You see, the Bible said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. The power of it is this. You didn't choose Christ. He chose you. He chased you down. We can't even have a desire for God unless we're drawn by the Holy Spirit. That's why those who play, man, what's scary about it is this, is you think you can repent any day you want. You can't. You can't repent unless you're drawn to repentance. And the Bible says God will not always strive with man. Dig in on that one, brother. I just like doing that. It has nothing to do with the sermon. We all start here at salvation, but we can't stay here. This is the whole process of learning how to reach the summit. We start growing in Christ. You know, that's why we have groups in this church. We have groups in the church so you can get around people that are going to be positive influences in your life. Well, there was three people who said amen. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. You know, it's not that you throw your friends away, but the fact is Jesus hung out with sinners, but he didn't spend all his time with sinners. He spent majority of his time with the believers to build them, strengthen them, and encourage them. This is why we have groups in this church. You see, if you stay right here, well, I gave my heart to the Lord in 1921. I walked up the old sawdust trail, fell on my knees, got mud on my knees, confessed the Lord, but I haven't been back to church since. See, it's not church that gets you saved, but when you're saved, you want to go to church. Ooh. It's not giving that's going to get you saved, but when you're saved, you're going to want to give. Ooh. It's not reading the Bible that's going to get you saved, but when you're saved, you're going to read the Bible so you know him more. See, this is all the progression of learning the journey that we're on and walking to the next base camp. The next base camp is a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a necessity for all of us to grow in Christ, not just, yeah, I got saved at his tabernacle back, oh my goodness, way back 19 years ago. Glory to God. Where are you now? Where is your relationship with God now? Well, you know, I'm just a teenager. My goodness, man, you can have a phenomenal relationship with Jesus as a teenager, and you can rock your school. There's young people in this room that are rocking the schools right now. They're preaching the gospel in their classrooms. Man, they're sharing Jesus with their family. They're unashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Where are you in your journey? You see, because this whole thing is making sure that we get the dung out. Turn to someone and say, get the dung out. Y'all know that waste is not to be eaten. Grosses you out, huh? No one's gonna eliminate. My wife just whispered, stop yourself. Stop yourself. No one's ever eliminated, and instead of flushing, picked it up and said, wow, I see corn. Oh, that's gross, isn't it? But what's amazing is we'll keep the same kind of waste in our life with Christ to keep us from relationship with him and base it as something from the past. I want you to realize that it's time to flush things. You keep listen now. You know as a child, if your child comes out of the toilet hanging onto his waist in his hand, say, Mommy, look. They might have done that at 2 when they smeared it all over your wall. But you corrected them. Why? Because waste is not to be handled. Waste is not to be eaten. Waste is not to be saved. You don't save waste. How many of you watched that movie? What was it? My favorite movie. What's it called? My favorite movie. Wild Hogs! How many of you love that movie, The Wild Hogs? When he bags his own waste, brings it to the fireplace, and they all said, get that out of here! He said, I don't want the bears to eat it. Bears don't eat dung! But we do. See, and this is what Paul's declaration was. I count all things lost. I count everything dung just to know Jesus. Some of us have traded our knowledge of Jesus for so many things that we have, and they're good excuses. I'm not even saying they're bad, but they're things that honestly, in the long run, are going to keep you from reaching the summit. It's going to bring you to the wrong ridge. We've got to make a decision. Listen, this is what Paul said. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, I'm not just a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, which means, listen now, he was proud of his ethnicity. I'm not saying we shouldn't be proud of our ethnicity, but sometimes we hold our ethnicity higher than we do Christ. He said, I was trained by Gamaliel, the second greatest teacher of all of Israel. Education. You know, I had somebody say one time, well, I can't stay at that church. There are too many uneducated people. You know, when you get to heaven, God don't care what degree you own. He cares about your heart. He said it about David. He said, I'm not looking for the oldest. I'm looking for the one who has a heart after me. You got to get rid of the waste. He said, man, I'm popular. He was talking about how popular he was. And I want you to know that everybody knew Paul. When he would go into a city, the believers would cringe because they knew he was only there for one purpose, and that was to kill him. But he made himself popular. Some of you are so popular, it's killing you. You want acceptance so bad, you're willing to trade Christ for the acceptance of people of this world. And I want you to realize they're going to leave you. How many of you are still best friends with all of your friends from high school? If you are with all of your friends from high school, well, you went to a Christian school that had 20. So, what happens is this, when you graduate high school, you realize though most of those friends ain't hanging out with you anymore. When you hang out, listen, you go to college, you do create friends in college, but once everybody goes their own way, listen now, you're not the same person. How many of you were like the loser in elementary school but popular when you got to high school? I was neither. It was just a horrible thing. Popularity, you got to get rid of it. It's waste. And then the last one is success. Some of you base so much on your success, and your success doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with your own success in your own mind. And I want you to realize that you and I can have our own goals, but they don't mean they're God's goals. You can have your own plan, but it might not have anything to do with God's plan. You can succeed and make millions of dollars, but watch what happens. If it's not God's plan, then it's just millions of dollars that's going to die with you. The point is that success, and I want you to know that Paul was a successful man. The Bible says he was zealous beyond all of his brothers, and he was excelling beyond them. You see, Paul had an understanding. He said this, I count even my success dung. Everything that I've accomplished on this earth, nothing more than waste. Thank you. Nothing more than waste. Just to what? Just to know Jesus. Do you want to really know Christ? Or do you want just enough Christ not to go to hell? Do you really want to know him? And I want you to realize this. I was sitting across from a woman. She was in her 80s and she was talking about her father, Fuchsia Pickett. She's talking about her dad. And I'm sitting there thinking, he's old. Like she was in her 80s. He had to be in, you know, near 100. Old. Then I realized real quickly, she wasn't talking about her natural father. She was talking about her heavenly father. And I was a pastor, and I sat there in that chair, and I went, Spencer, you got a long way to go. See, many of us think we've already summited. I'm sorry, you'll never summit here on earth. Because until you see him face to face,
You know him only through dimness. But the reality is that he wants you to know him well enough here that you will walk with him and talk with him. It's an old song. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. I tried to sing that this week and lost most of the words. You know it? Can you come sing that real quick? Sam, do you know this song? No, Sam, you don't know this song. This is old as Jesus. Dad, just sing it. He don't know the song, so it's you. The garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, voice I hear. Son of God, it closes, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. Thank you. Do you know him? You might be just starting off at base camp one. That's okay, man. Don't despise small beginnings. Baby, it's going to go get better. You're going to know him in a way all of a sudden as you spend time with him. I just got the joy just came on my spirit. You see, I love knowing Jesus. Somebody once called us a cult, and I said, yeah, the only cult we are is that we really do love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? I mean, do you genuinely love Jesus? Is he just a thought to you, a figure to you? Now, I'm not saying that you don't believe in him. I'm not saying that you haven't even confessed him as Lord. But what I'm saying is that you really don't know him. And I want you to realize that in the last days, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do great miracles in your name? And this is what he's going to say to them. I don't know you. Do you know him? In the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If you'll bow your heads with me this morning, I want to talk not only to those that don't know Christ in the room, but those who've been saved for a very long time. It's very easy over time, and I'm just confessing myself. It's very easy over time for our passions to shift and change. It's very easy to get on the wrong ridge. At 7:15 prayer this morning, I asked everybody just to take 10 minutes and just ask Jesus, am I on the right ridge? Am I in the right place? God, is there anything in my life that's holding me back from you? I don't know what you are. I don't know who you are. You know your own heart with God. But God is saying, what waste are you hanging on to? What are you gripping and grasping? What are you holding? What are you securing that's going to keep you from the greatest life that he has for you? Get rid of the waste. Because, baby, you can get it all and have nothing. Nothing. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. Can't get you to heaven. Not asking you to be my friend. I can't get you to heaven. I'm asking you to ask Jesus. And this morning, if you're feeling that draw, that's because God is saying to you, I want you. I want you in my family. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that my son died for you to forgive you. I want you to know that you're important to me. I want you to know that I love you with an everlasting love this morning. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, not saying you don't believe in him, but you've never asked him, you've never started the journey, today's your day. If you would like Christ to be the Lord of your life, I want you to slide your hand up this morning. Well, I can't wait long. I've gone long. If this is you, come on, get your hand up right now. I want Christ. Thank you, ma'am. Put it right back down. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else this morning who wants Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior? Come on now. Come on. This is your moment. Don't waste it. Five. Come on. Get your hand up. Four. Come on. Three. Thank you. Two. Last call. Thank you. Thank you. Here it is. I'm going to say one time. And one. Today, if you're an old-time believer, like me, you know, many times I've got to ask myself, what ridge am I on? And really, the only one that matters is Jesus, my number one. Today, old-time believers, are you on the wrong ridge? Or are you truly climbing to the summit? That I may know Christ. If you just need to realign yourself, I'm going to ask us all to stand right now. If you need to realign yourself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar now. I'm going to have Mindy come on over here. Stand to the second step, please. Prayer team, quickly. If you found yourself lost in the journey, I'm not talking like you don't love God, but I'm saying that now you realize you're on the wrong ridge. You're chasing a lot of things, but it's not Christ. You want to realign yourself. The prayer team's here to pray with you. For those that raise their hand for salvation, rededication, I call it reconciliation. I want you to step right out of your chair. I want you to meet me right up front. Listen, I know it's brave. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but want to go up, I'll go with you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, be brave, be brave, be brave, be brave. Come on, give him a hand clap this morning. I'm so proud of you both. So proud of you both. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Mindy's going to pray with you. We're going to make sure you start at base camp one. And baby, we're going to get you to base camp two quick. All right? You got a bunch of folk. Look at them all. You got a bunch of folk that love you. They'll do whatever it takes to make sure that you're going to succeed in Jesus. Amen? So if you'll follow Mindy right on over there, we'll pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you'll forgive us. If there's anything in our life that is waste, that needs to be flushed. God, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will convict us, that you will show us these things that are holding us back, that, Lord, you will bring a reality to our hearts, that only you really matter, that, God, when all comes to the last breath on this planet, only what we've done for Christ, only how we know Christ will last. Lord, we just want to say thank you for choosing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. And, Lord, forgive us if we placed any other gods before you. Lord, our hearts are realigned for this new year, the year of the new level. Our next level is before us, Jesus. You've got new places, new planes, new opportunity, new blessing. God, we thank you for it. That, Lord, the vision that you have for us is greater than we can even think or imagine. Lord, we just say, order our steps and we'll take them. We love you. And thank you for the amazing privilege of being called sons and daughters of the Most High King. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Can we just say this to you, Jesus? We love you. Can you tell him yourself? I'm just going to tell him myself. Can you tell him yourself you love him? Mean it out of your heart. Just talk to him. Jesus, I really, really, I love you. I thank you. God, even when I'm stupid, you still love me. I love you too. I love you, Jesus. Lord, bless us as we go. Keep us safe. Lord, let us lead at least one soul to Jesus. Lord, as freely as we've received, let us freely give. Let us bring our friends, our relatives. Let them come next week and hear the next level they can go to. Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings that you have in front of us. And Lord, we're going to run this race and we are going to reach the summit for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, next Sunday morning, we have something special.
Joyce Meyer's pastor is going to be with us, Rick Shelton. Want to make sure that you're here next Sunday morning and bring somebody. It's going to be one service next week, not two. One service, what time? One service at 10 a.m. next Sunday. Shout it out loud. One service, 10 a.m. Joyce Meyer's pastor, Rick Shelton. Make sure you bring somebody. We love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your hearts.